Welcome to Backroom Talk.
Bert, what a thoughtful, sweet guy.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know, Bert, if you're watching this, I'm not going to call you a thoughtful, sweet dude. Definitely thoughtful.
In 99, I mean, we'd already put the weightlifting equipment in the Chicago Bulls during the 90s when Jordan and Rodman and Pippen and all those guys were there. The landmine unit was never meant for anyone else. It was made for me to train for the 2000 Olympic trials.
How has strength made you the person you are today?
Oh, wow. I would say in some ways it's given me just about everything good in my life.
To listen to more Backroom Talk, be sure to subscribe. Learn to design personalized programs with the OPEX system of coaching by heading to opexfit.com.
Cool, man. Let's get started with you just telling who you are, man. What do you do?
Sure. My name is Bert Soren. I'm president and co-owner of SorenX Exercise Equipment. It's a family-owned business started in 1980 by my father, Richard Soren, who wanted to change the strength industry through innovation. And there's just a passion for human performance. At the time in 1980, it was kind of in the bodybuilding world with a lot of machines, Nautilus, stuff like that. My dad grew up as a power and strength athlete, so still thought the barbell was the way to go. Coming from the Northeast, where he grew up in York barbell, Olympic lifting and things like that. So when he came down and really kind of started in the 80s, it was kind of like the black sheep. 1980, there weren't a lot of powerlifting, Olympic lifting folks out there, much less making higher end, innovative strength equipment for that world. That was always kind of seen as the black iron kind of real simple stuff. And Pops realized, hey, it could be better than people are making it, and I think I could do it. So it wasn't really a business model of like trying to make a lot of cash or do anything. It was, I have an itch to scratch, and I think I could do it. And gonna start it out of our garage and see what happens. And so that's our company. That's what we do. Currently, 40 years later, I would say we're in 100% NFL to some extent. A lot of the facilities are exclusively our gear. Multiple elite military organizations, hundreds of colleges, normal people have our stuff. Performance centers, gyms, Olympic training centers. So we kind of made a name for ourselves, driving innovation and changing the tools and some of the application in the strength world. And
cool. I mean, so you grew up in this environment where your dad had already started the business, but from day one, were you like, I want to be a part of this? Or
No, I mean, when I was a little kid, you know, so I was born in 76, so he started the business when I was four. So when you're a kid, you're just running around the gym getting in the way. Do you guys have kids?
I don't.
I do. I have two. Yeah, I have two.
So you know how it is when just kids are running around the gym, right? So I was like that kid. And I always found it interesting, and I always respected strength and honored strength. That was what I was taught, that you honor not only physical strength, but mental, emotional, spiritual strength, like resolve as being something to be honored and gone after. But I didn't know I was necessarily going to be in the business. You know, when you're a kid, you think, I thought I was going to like be a professional skateboarder, right? And then later in life, I just wanted to hunt and fish and then like chase girls because, you know, you're a teenager, right? You're not looking at your future. And then so I went to college thinking I would probably just keep that ball rolling and ended up kind of through a Forrest Gump-like turn of events, ended up on the South Carolina track and field team, which kind of gave me an opportunity to really understand training to a further level, because track and field is the sport of training. And, you know, so I would say later in my college career, as I thought of the Olympic trials and the national championships and enjoying living in a big, strong, powerful body, you start respecting family business more and more because you see, wow, there's really a need for this. So later in my college career, I knew that, you know, what I was studying in college was, I hate to say, somewhat inconsequential to what I was going to do the rest of my life. And so I kind of started shifting everything pointed towards human performance and getting prepared to get into business to help my dad. So kind of I was brought in as new blood.
What was the company in 99, Bert? Like, what were you guys doing? Were you guys in, you know, university facilities? Were you guys on military installations, or is that something that you kind of drove forward?
No, Dad was doing it already. I mean, we had already, in 99, I mean, we'd already put the weightlifting equipment in the Chicago Bulls during the 90s when Jordan and Rodman and Pippen and all those guys were there. It was all our stuff. Some of the stuff at the Falcons, you know, we were building custom equipment for Al Vermeil and Al Miller and some of the OGs of the strength world, the Mike Stones. The first thigh pull testing rack with a power plate we built in 1992. So, like, we were always in the cutting edge. But a coach told me one time, he's like, you guys are the best kept secret in the strength world. We were just a small company doing really custom stuff for the high-end performers. And we had no marketing idea, no marketing budget, no marketing department. It was literally my dad and, like, seven guys at the shop. And you can only do so much at that point. So at that point, like I said, though, we'd already built the weight rooms for University of Kentucky football, Tennessee football, a multitude of other ones. So we were established.
What did you bring to the business?
I think, you know, besides maybe just some youthful energy, you know, that's one of those things, because I would go and train, and Pop showed me from when I was a little kid, like, he would train every day at 5 o'clock. Well, training sessions would last 2.5-3 hours, because you'd be training and then middle of a you rack the bar and you're talking, and you next time you, like, 10 minutes later, you'd have a drill out and you're drilling new holes in a rack that didn't exist before and hooking different things, and, you know, then you're trying a new exercise that's never been done before, and like, that's how our workouts would go. People are like, you work out so long. I'm like, yeah, but it's kind of like R&D working out, and some days it's pure training. But your mind is always going. And so that's where I think a benefit for me was, I was already charged mentally with trying to win. I was 22 years old, so you have a ton of energy. I wanted to train all the time. So that, like, that interest and that hunger, I think, was something I brought to the table. And I found that if you're passionate about something, if your mind is geared to something, then obviously you think about it. And if you're kind of gifted in it, you come up with ideas. It's just, you just do. You it's kind of like they say, well, I'll tell you what your highest priority in life is if I look at your checkbook and see what you spend your money on. What do you think about most? That's going to show in your action. You know, say the landmine unit was never meant for anyone else. It was made for me to train for the 2000 Olympic trials, and it just kind of leaked.
Walk us through kind of the creation of that, man, because I think that's super interesting. Because everyone listening to this, they've probably used a landmine, and like you're saying, you know, they probably have a landmine in their gym. You see that in garage, yeah. Even garage gyms around the world at this point, right? So, tell us that story.
Yeah, so it was probably late 1999. I mean, I got to Sorenex in July, so I think it was in the fall of 1999. And I had talked to two different throwers. One was Susie Powell. She was an Olympic discus thrower from UCLA, and she and I were very good friends. And she was telling me about an exercise where they take a barbell and they would stick it in a shoe in the corner, and they would do twists at UCLA. And I was like, oh, that's really, really interesting. And that was what they used for, you know, hip-shoulder separation, creating the X and torso spring, you know? So I was like, I kept hearing about that extra. I was like, I got to try that. And then I talked to Judd Logan, who was a four-time Olympian in the hammer. And I asked him, I said, have you ever seen this exercise? Susie was telling me. He goes, oh, yeah, we called them Ninos. I'm like, why? He goes, I don't know. Mexican coach Nino showed them to me. I'm like, oh, okay. He kind of just showed me what they were. I was like, interesting. So I went home to the gym. And just how our gym was set up, we had no corner that was free, because all the corners had, like, bars stacked up in them and everything like that. And I'm like, where am I going to do this exercise? You know, I want to try this thing. And it was so funny. Pop's like in the middle of doing some high pulls. And I was like, all right, Pop, I want to do this thing. And he's like, he looks over and he just points. He goes, take the universal joint off the chest supported row, put a pipe on it, and mount it to the platform, and that'll work. It was that long. Like, that's all it was. And he goes, just do that. And I'm like, all right. So I went out the shop the next day and pulled parts, welded them together, hammed in the platform. And then I started playing with them. I'm like, oh, this is cool. You can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this. And I started messing around. I'm like, oh, there's myriad of exercises that I've never seen anybody do, much less the thing that I'm trying to accomplish with it. And so like that just kind of brilliance that Dad had, you know, that I think I've been able to, you know, vapor trail off of. And then my mind of, you know, I had no reference to what was supposed to occur with that exercise. So it was a new piece of hardware that my mind was totally open and raw to go, okay, how can a barbell be loaded? No one was telling me what to do. So it's just kind of like, here's a blank sheet of paper and a marker that's never existed. Like, see what you come up with. You know, the next few months, it was like, this thing is really, really versatile. Yeah, I'll be honest, it was probably 2002, maybe even later, before really like started buying them. I remember going to conferences for years, demoing the landmine, and people going, I don't get it. And I'm like, okay. And it sharpened my sword of like, how do I convey information, help people understand?
I think it's so fascinating to hear from your mouth, but like why you created that thing. Because I see, you know, a lot of coaches using this landmine, and I'm sure I've been guilty of doing this in the past too. And just using it because it's there and in the gym and not really thinking of the intention behind, like, why was this created? What is the purpose of using this piece of equipment in a workout versus just using it for the sake of using it? So really kind of cool to hear you reflect on that. Yeah. And I am interested as well, is there anything you've created that hasn't taken off that you wish had?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, I would say probably arguably the thing that's taken off the most, and again, maybe people don't understand that we did that as well, as the whole rig system. I mean, a piece of tubing with four holes in all four corners that create a rig. I drew up on a bar napkin in 2007 as CrossFit was popping off and everyone was welding together all these rigs. And I would look in these facilities and all of it was just this tubing that was unpainted. And I was looking around like, gosh, that's a bunch of steel you're wasting to. You know, if your business is good, you're going to expand and you're going to have to move, and you can't move that thing. Now you're going to have to buy it again. And I started seeing people in the early CrossFit days like, I got to get rid of this rig. I got to cut it apart and try to weld it back together. I'm like, that makes no sense. And then I go, well, you're using all these uprights to support the piece, but you're also buying squat stands. That doesn't make sense. Why don't you just put the uprights 4 feet apart and put holes in them and use those as the squat stand? And I remember going to the 08 CrossFit Games at Dave's house and literally bringing the first rig there. And people were like, they would look at it and go, awesome pull-up rig. Y'all sell squat stands? I'm like, they are the squat stands. You put the Jacobs on them. They're like, yeah, no, it's a pull-up rig. Do y'all sell squat? And I'm just like, sure, man, we sell squat stands, dude. Like, you know, but the point of it was to make something that was ultimately customizable, movable, expandable, shippable, and it put the power in the customer's hands to say, hey, man, here's some uprights, here's some cross members. There's A, B, and C cross member, there's A, B, and C upright, there's two or three things. You figure out your adventure of how you want to make it work in your facility. And you can ship it wherever you want. And actually, the first units that we did were painted with the olive drab heat-resistant paint for outside, because we made them for the military so they didn't get as hot in the desert during the war. So the idea was, like, my thought was we could ship those overseas to all these bases and make sure our soldiers and vets have something to train on. But then it's because I was getting these messages, they're like, well, we set up a gym, and then when we had to move out of this place, like, we literally just took all the equipment and shoved it in a hole and covered it with sand because we were leaving. And I'm like, well, why didn't you take it with you? Like, it's just too much to ship it. And I'm like, well, why don't we have a thing you could just knock down and reset up? And they're like, yeah, that doesn't exist. So like the rig system, I'm probably proudest of that, because I know that I feel 50 years from now, if I'm around or not, there will still be a rig or that technology.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear, man. The first time I ever used a piece of Sorenex equipment was actually in 2012 in Afghanistan. So it's funny that you say that. And it was a big, nice, powder-coated rig.
Sure. Perfect. Man. It worked.
Yeah, and so it was this nice Sorenex rig with your guys's bumper, your like thin competition bumper plates with the metal inserts. Those things were, yeah, those things were beautiful, man. So yeah, it was the first time, that's the first time I ever touched anything Sorenex.
Awesome. Well, that's, you're who we did it for, you know, that was the thing. And we wanted to make sure that our military, or just really our people that want more out of life and are willing to put the effort forward, that we give them the best tools and the best service that we possibly can to make sure that they have the tools. They don't have to say, I couldn't get my job done because the tool gave up on me or wasn't there. Like, if we could give you the best tools, you put in the effort and it should work out.
Shifting gears a little bit. I think you guys built your facility the year I moved away from South Carolina. Talk about that. Like, you guys probably haven't seen this thing, but this place is unbelievable. Why did you guys build that thing? The thing is massive. It's the most beautiful facility I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's saying a lot, but talk about that a little bit.
Thanks. First of all, we never, in many ways, like Pops and I have kind of talked, we never thought big enough earlier on in the career. Like, it was, how do we change the strength industry? But there was always like kind of the hand to mouth kind of mindset. Just like, okay, get through this one and get through this one. And then so finally, you know, we never really invested in ourselves and in the business like we should have, just because that wasn't our goal. Like, our goal was to do these things, but you kind of forget that you can't do those things without investing in this side to give yourself the vehicle. Later in the career, we kind of said, okay, if we're going to do this, like, let's do this. And you have to have a ship, you know, you have to have a home ship to make it work. So the idea was, okay, well, let's find a building, let's do this, let's do that, and like, let's make sure it's big enough and the whole nine. And so we were able to pick up a building that was new, but it was unused, but 5 years old. A company had built it, they lost a contract, the building was sitting empty. So we took over the building. It was kind of an interesting thing. We took over the building and immediately we were like psyched, right? Well, the key of what we did, and all of our like sales guys and admin guys or whatever that have all kind of been through the hard years, moving this building, everyone's like, awesome, we get to be in this badass big building or whatever. And so we put a double wide trailer outside and we all worked in that for 2 years. And the mindset of it was, everyone's gonna stay hungry. And while we're building up the money and the time it takes to renovate it, we're not going to get the taste. So you want to get out this freaking trailer, you're going to just keep hammering. And because we knew if we moved in, that complacency would set in and it would be like, well, this is nicer than what we had. And so the idea was like, save money, suck eggs and until we could do what we want to do, because if that's truly where we want to go, it's just like training, right? If I want to be at the Olympics, I don't get to do the fun things between now and then. I have to stay focused on the long goal. And that's something we laugh about. And people would come, you know, weird, man, you're bringing in these like high-end clients and stuff. They're like, hey, come to HQ. And you're like, check out our trailer. They're like, this is Sorenex? You're like, yeah, here's why. And they're like, okay, I get it. This is cool. And it's kind of like, let's make it as hard as possible so everyone stays gritty, they stay an edge to them, and we're just, you know, we're ready just to fight. And it built a kind of an idea of all the people that were here. It's like, we don't need all the fancy stuff. We're just going to kick everyone's ass because we want to really, really badly, and we're going to stay focused. And it ended up turning around. And then it was like, now you get to get in the winner's circle. So I think part of that as a leader, you have to make sure your staff always stays hungry. That's kind of a long-winded idea. I don't even remember what the question was, but that was something about the building.
No. Talk about what you guys have now, though.
Right now, we have a gym. It's here. It's kind of an R&D. It's for our clients to come and train anytime they want. So that's where we bring people when they come and try the newest and greatest. It's R&D for our people. We were, guys want to train in the middle of the day or a lunch break, they could go out and do it. Coaches come in, they could check it out. But sometimes it's just, you know, me and two of the guys today, we're walking through, getting a drink of water. I was like, hey, man, if we did X, Y, and Z, and then all of a sudden impact drills come out, and an hour and a half later, we're dirty and sweaty and building stuff.
Sounds like a strength mecca. Sounds amazing, but I want to go visit.
I'll show you pictures of this thing after. It's ridiculous.
Oh, we'll have to.
You got to come visit it. Yeah, we have an outside strongman area, like for strength training, and then we have a big beer garden, as we call it. So it's like our own bar and grill, so we don't have to rent out places. It's like 5,000 square feet with grills and stuff. So when we have parties, we'll throw our own stuff for fight nights or, you know, Christmas parties, or invite people over. And we can house about 500 people. And we just got tired of like renting out a bar, renting out a whatever. And that just kind of pulls it together.
Yeah, we were almost going to go there. We were going to be a part of the Summer Strong thing last year, but the weirdness happened. Do you want to talk about that, Summer Strong, and what you guys are doing with that?
Sure. So Summer Strong, it would have been Summer Strong 13, of course, right? This past May. And so that it started as my dad's birthday party. I asked him 13 years ago, you know, hey, what do you want to do for your birthday, pops? And he's like, I don't know, man, have some people from town come over, and strong people, if they want to lift, open the doors, let everybody lift. Like, all right, that's cool. So we didn't even put it on the internet. I don't even know how it got around, but like 38 people from 5 states showed up. And this was like 6 days beforehand. I just called a couple of people like, hey man, we're going to do a hip-hop, you know, for Pop's birthday. And it was pretty cool. Like, people came from all over, and we just hung out, and we didn't have any premise behind it. But early that morning, Don McCauley started teaching Olympic lifting training. And then we had a couple of professional strongmen there, and they started walking yokes and stuff like that. And so this kind of thing happened where you had all these people from different aspects of the strength world, all were just in the same room, and they kind of put their ego aside. And so you have a strongman doing Olympic lifting training. You have a guy that was a wrestler, like, I'm going to go try powerlifting. And so everyone just, like, about every hour, someone would step up and just kind of start leading the training. Wow, everyone had a great time. That was the first year. And then the next year we go, oh, are we going to do that thing again? Like, oh, yeah, I guess we'll do it again for Todd's birthday. What are we going to call it? Like, I don't know, Summer Strong. Oh, that sounds cool. Like, Summer Strong, Summer Week. Yeah, huh, that's hilarious. Cool. You know, who knew? That year, I think 100 people showed up. And then you fast forward 10 years later, and they're capping it at 650. And we were kind of one of the first strength clinics. I hate to say clinic, whatever you want to call it. There is no really, someone said it's like, it is an experience. It's not a clinic. It's not a seminar. It's not a competition. I study a lot of how like concerts are run or movies are made. So the whole point of it is to take the audience for a ride.
Are you guys, obviously we don't know what's happening, you know, with this whole COVID thing, but are you guys planning on rolling Summer Strong 13, I guess, part 2 next year?
Yeah, we are. And so we're trying to work on, obviously, hopefully, you know, the vaccine will be more substantial by then, but then also working with different companies about getting COVID tests. And, you know, the idea is can you, if, you know, to get in, you have to clear good on a COVID test, a ready rapid test at the door, or come in with a negative test, which within X number of days, or documentation that you had it over a month ago and having, you know, something. We're trying to figure out how to make it where, because I talked to someone this past year, I still wanted to have it this past year. And someone said, well, you know, you could do the COVID test, but, you know, if everyone's just, you know, smart, like, you know, not like shaking hands or hugging, which wears their mask, I think it'd be fine. I'm like, obviously you've never been there. And if that's what it is, I'm not doing it. So that's my personal feeling on Summer Strong. And so that's kind of one of those things. Whatever we could do, get it back to normal as possible, we'll do it.
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. Hopefully that thing rolls, man, because I know a lot of people, especially in that area, really, really look forward to Summer Strong, man.
Yeah, it's needed right now too, right? I mean, in my opinion, it's needed more than ever. That's the shitty part about it, is what's probably needed most right now is unable to happen, which is connection. You know, I mean, we intentionally have different speakers from different backgrounds on all levels, and everyone shows one another respect. Everyone listens to one another with curious and candid conversations. And, you know, I I believe that's one of the medicinal things in this world that needs to happen right now, whether you agree with someone or not, like at least show them the respect of listening to them. That's what we're trying to create. We're trying to, you know, again, going back to, it's not a powerlifting seminar. It's not an Olympic lifting. It's not a, it's, here are people that intentionally will have different views as you. Learn how to talk to one another, learn how to respect one another, learn how to say, hey, wow, I never thought of that, or how that person did something really bad early in life that I would think is absolutely horrible, that I would never talk to someone that did that thing, but I didn't realize that we were having lunch together and I really liked that person, and oh my gosh, I didn't know that they were a whatever, and wow, now we're opening up minds, and then people just start going, well, this is really interesting.
Yeah, I think what you're describing there is one of the incredibly powerful things about strength and fitness, and the ability to bring people from different backgrounds and different methodologies all together because they have that shared respect. And I am curious, but like what for you personally has developed? How has strength made you the person you are today?
Oh, wow. I would say in some ways it's given me just about everything good in my life. I mean, as a kid, I was not an athlete. I wasn't even picked first. I was generally picked last. I had an identity as like, I could fit in anywhere-ish, but I was never like, I was like the traditional jack of all trades. You know, really strength conditioning, that gave me an opportunity to be an athlete, someone that I always looked up to as an athlete, and then to be a good one. And that was something that totally changed my self-image. My life has been wildly extraordinary. My blessings have been much greater than I deserve, much greater than I ever thought would even be possible.
Yeah.
I had a similar question, but you asked it in a much better way. So I'll end my part there, unless you have anything else, Georgia.
No, I think that was a really great and powerful way to end the conversation, Bert. So thank you. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stay with us for more Backroom Talk.
That conversation was not what I expected. And I don't know what I expected because I have never chatted with Bert before and I haven't heard him speak publicly. I know Soren X, but I hadn't heard Bert speak. But you look at him and he's got, you know, big beard. He's a tough, strong looking dude. But like, what a thoughtful, sweet guy.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know, Bert, if you're watching this, I'm not going to call you a thoughtful, sweet dude. Definitely thoughtful. But no, yeah, it was good to hear just the story. They have such a great story, right? Like, I think they're coming up on 50 years rolling, you know, started in the family. It's still rolling in the family. They're a premium custom equipment company, right, that has a lot of touch points with universities, professional teams, military around the world, and even you see them in CrossFit gyms and PT gyms and stuff like that as well. So they're innovators. I think that's what we gain from that. And I think Bert is, God, he's the perfect guy to run and lead that thing.
Definitely. It was, I really just enjoyed the whole conversation, but especially hearing him talk about what strength training has done for him. I love those moments. I think that for each of us, like our personal connection with fitness and the way it shaped us is the reason why we work in this industry. So to hear that from him as the person who's, you know, the head of this organization, who's out there serving all of these people, to know that he has that passion for strength training and for fitness, it's just really heartwarming.